Okay, as you're being seated, you can see in the projector, we're going to be looking at Psalm 119 this morning, and we are going to be only in Psalm 119. We're not going anywhere else. Psalm 119 alone, that's the only passage you need to be able to find, and once you get to Psalm 119, all 176 verses of it, there's no place to go, right? Dinner is waiting for us downstairs, so I can take as long as I want because there's no place to go, right? We had a lady who used to go to our church. I'm sorry, I beat you to it. And she said if she got out of church before 1 o'clock, she felt cheated. And she went on to explain that somebody should have shared something that would have blessed her who didn't. And so she felt cheated. It wasn't because she wanted a longer sermon. It's because she wanted to hear from you what God is doing in your life. That's why we give you that opportunity during our worship time. Okay, I'm not going to preach to 1 o'clock. And some of you said, whew. Okay. Let's bow before the Lord. Your Majesty, our hearts are filled, our hearts are lifted up to heaven, thinking about, meditating on the words of these songs that we have sung, the comfort that they give us, the assurance, the strength, the peace. Father, Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, so it shouldn't come as any surprise to us. But he also said that in the midst of that tribulation, that he offered the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that no one can take from us. Because it's not based on our outward circumstances, it's based on a personal relationship with you through him. He is our rock. He is our anchor. He is our shepherd. He is our peace. And so, Father, it's with that inner peace guarding our hearts that we come to you this morning and we open your word and we invite you to speak to our hearts. Minister to us, Father. Again, you know what kind of week each person here has had. I only know bits and pieces. You also know what kind of a week we're going to face. And I ask through your word this morning that you will encourage us, both in spite of what happened this week past, and to prepare us for what's coming this next week. Use your word through your Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 119. We're not sure who wrote this psalm. Many people have concluded it was probably David. You'll notice in your Bible it's laid out in 8-verse stanzas, and before each of those 8-verse stanzas you'll see a funny little character, and that's a Hebrew letter. And they go consecutively through the Hebrew alphabet. So verses 1 through 8 are headed by the letter Aleph. And each of those 8 verses, 8 times, each of those verses starts with the Hebrew letter Aleph, in the Hebrew, of course. And then verses 9 through 16 are headed by the Hebrew letter Beth. And each of those 8 verses, verses 9 through 16, starts with the Hebrew letter Beth. So it is an 8-fold acrostic based on and built upon the Hebrew alphabet. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet times 8, so there are how many verses? 176. 8 times 22. Okay? You don't even have to be an engineer to do that. You might have to take your shoes off. Yeah. Okay. And we've been looking at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I chose that back in December to be our theme verse for this year. It's been in every bulletin that you've received. It's been on every calendar a couple of times. And I'm the first Sunday of January or last Sunday of December, I forget, I preached on Psalm 119. And we looked at, now please, if you're the kind of person who takes notes, don't try to keep up with this. Put your pen down and just read. Okay? We looked at some of the results of a word-filled life. What I wanted to do at the beginning of the year was encourage you and try to motivate you that having Scripture fill your life is going to help you. It's for your benefit. So I was trying to encourage you to do it. Okay? Benefits and results of a word-filled life. Negatively, it keeps you from sin. It will give you an upright heart. It will keep your way pure. You'll avoid chasing and you'll walk at liberty. How many of you think those all sound like good things that you want? Yeah, okay. How does it come from? From the Word. Positively, it will grant you salvation. It will give you spiritual wisdom. It will be a guide for your life. How many of you think those things sound like good things you want in your life? It will give you good attitudes, such as reverence or fear for God, hope, comfort in affliction, joy, peace. How many of you want more of those in your life? Okay. It'll give you a good reputation with yourself, first of all. It'll give you a clear conscience. How many of you have experienced the pain of a bad conscience, a guilty conscience? How many of you like a good conscience better? Okay. It also gives you a good reputation with other people. It will give you blessings. It will give you help. It will give you reviving. How many of you have reached points in your life when you think, I just can't go on any further. I'm done. I'm at the end of my rope. Okay? Several times the psalmist said, your word has revived me. Your word has restored my spirit. Beloved, when you reach that point, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. It gives you strength. Now, sometimes I'm afraid people have the idea, oh, I want all of those benefits in my life. I want all of those results in my life. So I'm going to take my Bible home and I'm going to sit it on a very prominent place right on my coffee table. You guys are laughing. You think I'm kidding, okay? Some people think that you're going to absorb the truths of God's Word by osmosis if you just have enough of them sitting around your house. You'll have one on the nightstand and have one on the coffee table and one on the kitchen table and one on your coat rack or something. And you just have enough Bibles around. Surely the wisdom from God's Word will just somehow absorb into you. Okay? I have bad news and good news. The bad news is that doesn't work. Okay? This isn't like some St. Christopher medal or something, some amulet that you keep around for a good luck charm. That's the bad news. It doesn't come by osmosis. The good news is, but it is available. It is available. How, you ask? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Because that's what I would like us to look at. Last time when I spoke, I tried to encourage you to want the benefits of a word-filled life. This morning, having I hope, stimulated you to want those benefits in your life, now I'm going to tell you practically, very basically, how to get them. How to get them. Okay? Before we go on, how many of you might be chilly? Cool? Okay. Mark, could you kick the furnace up a tad? You know how right there on the back wall? Okay. Okay. If you found Psalm 119, I'm going to warn you, we have way more than we can possibly look at. I have literally, in some of these different points, there's some repetition. There are 176 verses. I've got hundreds of points in my sermon this morning. Hundreds of verses. We're not going to look at all of them. We are going to look at enough under each point, hopefully, to try to encourage you concerning how to make the benefits of Scripture practically effective in your life. Okay? This is so profound. This is really deep. You gotta read it. Okay? Verse 6. I'm just going to give verses. I'm not going to say most of the time Psalm 119, because every verse I give you, unless I specify otherwise, if I quote something else, every verse is going to be from Psalm 119, so I'm not going to say that anymore. Okay? Verse 6. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. You've got to look on the commandments. You've got to look to see what the word says. Verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Okay, there's an aspect of opening the eyes that God has to do, but let me tell you, there's an aspect of opening your eyes that you and I have to do. If you keep your Bible closed on your coffee table, you're not going to get much out of it. It might serve as a nice paperweight, but that's about all the good it's going to do you. You need to be in the book. That's why we make available on the little Lucite stand back there, daily devotional Bible reading guides, our daily bread. If you are more of an electronic digital type person, there's an app for that. There's an Our Daily Bread app you can download, and every morning you open it up and boom, it goes. You can set it up so it goes right to today's page. Wouldn't it be nice to have your tablet or your phone programmed so you can't do anything else until you have done Our Daily Bread reading in it? Wouldn't that be great? Okay. It's available. And for those of you that are old-fashioned, or you like the feel of having paper in your hand and you like your Bible, okay, we give the booklets. And you can send them a little, there's an envelope inside, you send it in and they'll send you free of charge every month your very own Our Daily Bread monthly booklet. Okay. Or we also make available, back in the Lucite stand, back on the table, 2014 Bible reading guides. There are three sections. You can read through the entire Old Testament. You can read through the New Testament. It's divided up, so most weekdays you read four chapters and weekends you read just two chapters because weekends they know we're busy. Okay? You don't have to do all of this. Reading through the whole Bible in a year is a chunk. It's an investment in time. Although, how could you invest your time more wisely than that? But we make these Bible reading guides available. So you can read as much or a little, you can just read through the New Testament in a year. That's pretty easy. One chapter a day, weekdays only. And take the whole weekend off. But beloved, if all you get out of Scripture is what you get from me in 45 minutes on Sunday morning, that's not enough. That's not nearly enough. We need to be in the Word on a daily basis, on our own, reading it, looking at it. Verse 43. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. Verse 74. May those who fear you see me and may be glad, because I wait for your word. That give you the impression that you have to set aside time? You do. You are not going to just happen to find time to read God's Word. You've got to make time. Schedule it. I schedule a time every morning to eat breakfast. I also schedule a time every morning to read God's Word. There are times I miss. But it's in my schedule, it's my intention, it's my plan to do that. Verse 81, my soul languishes for your salvation, I wait for your word. Verse 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield, I wait for your word. I wait for your word. It takes time. And it's got to be important enough to you to make time for it. Look at verse 147. If you're not underlining any of these, if you're not following along with the rest of them, I want you to look at this one, please. 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Now, I don't know what works best for your schedule, but it works best for my schedule to schedule that time with God and His Word first thing in the morning. The psalmist says, I rise before dawn to make sure that I have time with you. Before I get out and into the busyness of my day, I set aside time with you, Lord. And it's so important. I get up a long time before dawn so I can make sure I have uninterrupted, undistracted time with you before I start my day. You got to read it. Secondly, pray for discernment. Go back to verse 18. The psalmist prayed, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Have you ever done this? You're reading your Bible and you're really trying to be serious about this, really trying to do a good thing, and you read your Bible and you get to the bottom of the page and you stop and you think, what did I just read? And you realize that while your mind was going over those words, your mind was saying those words, and at the same time it was worrying about this afternoon's meal or something going on at work or the kids or something else, and you weren't really focusing on God's Word. Your mind was going over the words, and you could have taken the Bible reading guide and you could check the little box and say, I did it, but you really didn't get anything out of it. The psalmist said, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Modern contemporary songwriter said, open the eyes of my heart. That's what we need to have open. You have to go to opening the eyes of your body and pray and ask God to open the eyes of your heart so that you receive and understand the spiritual application of God's Word. Pray for discernment. Pray that you will understand how the principles of God's Word, written this maybe 1,000 years ago, how the principle of God's Word apply to your life today in a powerful way. Verse 26. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. Verse 33. Teach me, O Yahweh, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Pray for discernment. Ask God to give you something in the way of a personal application as you read through His Word. Often I will journal after I read God's Word. I just sit down and I write out something that was meaningful to my life in that passage. You know how this worship service came this morning? The worship service came about from me reading God's Word and it having an impact on my life, and me seeing how the Lamentations 3 passage just fit beautifully with that John 14:1 verse, because I took the time to think about it and I prayed for discernment and I asked God to teach me His Word. And I got something personal and powerful out of my Bible reading that day. Pray that God would give you something like that every day. Pray for discernment. Honor the Word. Honor the Word. Verse 48. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Lifting up the hands is an expression, a physical, visible expression of honor to God and His Word. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Can you say that? God's Word is more important to you, more valuable to you than a fantastic amount of wealth. Look at verse 127. Therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. You've got to honor God's word. Beloved, we live in a day when God's word is being dishonored, when it's being rebuked, it's being laughed at. If you tell somebody, I believe the Bible, I believe it from cover to cover, I believe it's the word of God for me to know, to live my life by, they will mock you. They will mock you because they don't understand the power of the principles in God's word. Remember all those things that we saw, the benefits of a godly life? Those things can come to you from God's word, but you've got to read it. You've got to pray for discernment. You've got to honor it. Which is more important to you? The counsel of God's word or the counsel of some secular psychologist? They've got all sorts of solutions for how to fix messed up people. God has a solution for how to fix messed up people too. They're messed up because the wages of sin is death. God's solution is the free gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are other principles in God's word than to guide us, to help us make decisions. But we've got to honor God's word. There is nothing to compare to it. There's nothing of its equal. It is in a class of its own. And we need to treat it as such. It's not just one opinion among many equal opinions. It's the first opinion. And any opinion that disagrees with it is wrong. I know, that's going to get me laughed at out in the world. That's absolutely true. This is God's truth. And man's guess doesn't compare with God's truth. We need to honor it. Honor the word. Verse 128, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. Man, would that transform our lives if we just really put that into practice? God's word is right about everything it talks about, and I'm going to follow it. I'm not going to compare God's word with what somebody, some other man says and say, okay, which one do I think I want to follow? I esteem God's word right, and I will follow it. It will transform our lives, beloved. Verse 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. So that's our next point. Go back to 47 and 48. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Love the word. Love the word. If you love it, you're going to want to spend time with it. Remember back those days of dating when you were in the process of falling in love with your spouse? And you just wanted to spend time together because you loved each other. Beloved, if we love this word, we're going to want to spend time with it. We're going to spend time with it. Love the word. Verse 127, I read it before, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. 165, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Underline that verse. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. That's a promise from God. Is that what you want your life to look like? Great peace, unstumbling? Love God's word. 167, my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. So because you love the word, then you long for it. You long for the word. Listen to these expressions of longing. Back in verse 20. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Verse 31. I cleave to your testimonies, O Yahweh, do not put me to shame. Verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Verse 45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Seek them. 131. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Have you ever had that strong of a desire for God's word that you would express it like that? I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Read it. Pray for discernment. Honor the word. Love the word. Long for the word. And as a result of all those things, you learn from it. You learn the word. Verse 7. I will give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. You've got to learn the word. Verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. You've got to learn it. Some of you are thinking, okay, Dave, it sounds like what you're saying is we've got to memorize it. Well, actually, yeah, that would be a good idea. That's why we have an annual verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay? So that all together, we as a church are learning one verse at least together that hopefully we, by the end of the year, will be able to say together. Memorizing God's word. Verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart. There's that idea of honoring it, valuing it. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Memorize the word. Learn it. Again, it's not enough to just come to church. You've got to study it on your own. Verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. The psalmist says, when I've got a problem, when I've got a decision to have to make, when I need wisdom, I go to your word. I open the book. Your word is my counselor. Too many times we'll go ask the neighbor and we'll ask our coworkers and we'll ask our in-laws and we'll ask people down the block, what do you think I ought to do? And maybe as a last resort, we'll open the Bible and see what God says about it. That ought to be the first place we turn. That would be the first place we turn. Learn the word. Memorize it. Skipping a bunch of verses here. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. 153, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Treasure it in your heart. Learn it. And then meditate on it. Several times the psalmist talks about that. Verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. Meditate on them. Go to verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. There's that loving it. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. 97 to 99. Meditate on God's word. What do you think about when you don't have to think about anything else? When your mind is free to wander, you've got time to kill. You meditate on that favorite fishing spot up in the mountains. You meditate on that whatever. Or do you meditate on God's Word because you know it, you've hidden it in your heart, you've treasured it in your heart, and therefore you can call verses to mind to meditate on. So that you don't have to have your Bible or your phone or your tablet or your whatever with you. You can meditate on God's Word without any props because you've treasured it in your heart. Meditate on the Word. 148. I had you look at 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Now look at 148. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. You get the impression that from the very beginning of the day, he rises before dawn to read God's word. And then all the way until the night watches, he's meditating on God's word. This is a guy whose day is filled from beginning to end with the word of God. That's why he has all those benefits we looked at that I gave you at the beginning of this message, reviewing from when we looked at it back in January. That's why these are true about him. Because from the beginning of his day to the end of his day, from early in the morning before dawn until the night watches, God's word is filling his life. Somebody once said, if you find a Bible that's falling apart, it probably belongs to somebody whose life isn't. Probably belongs to somebody whose life isn't falling apart. Meditate on the word. You need to believe it. You need to trust it. Again, that's not saying, okay, I'm going to read God's word and I'm going to read the opinions of men and I'll see which one I think I like better. Verse 42, so I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. I trust in your word. Verse 66, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. You need to read it. You need to meditate on it. And you need to believe it. You need to believe it. Then I suggest you need to promise to keep it. I've heard people say, oh, you know, it's really a serious thing to make a promise to the Lord. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to make a promise to the Lord. I suggest to you that if you don't make any commitments to the Lord, you won't keep any. Verse 57, Yahweh is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Verse 106, I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. Let me suggest that that starts with making a commitment to spend time in God's Word daily. You can't make a commitment to believe and obey God's Word. If you don't know what it says, you've got to start with knowing what it says. And so that's where the commitment needs to begin, that you make a commitment that God's Word is going to find time in your day because you're going to make time for it. You're going to make time for it. So you make a commitment, you promise to keep God's word, but then you actually do it. You actually do obey the word. Look at verse 51. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. You're going to face mocking and scorn and ridicule, and the psalmist said, I've been there. I've been ridiculed, I've been scorned, I've been scoffed at. You know what? That's not going to sway me from keeping your word. I'm going to keep it. Verse 69, the arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts. John chapter 12, it talks about the Pharisees, and it says that some of the Pharisees actually had come to believe in Jesus, but they weren't telling anybody because they loved the approval of man more than the approval of God. Beloved, that's not a first century Pharisee problem. That's an every century right now problem. People who are afraid to make a declaration for God, people who are afraid to announce that they are living for God, people who are afraid to make decisions based on the Word of God, because what will our neighbors say? What would my coworkers think of me? Why is that more important than what God thinks of you? Why? Love the approval of men more than the approval of God. What a reproach. What a terrible thing to say about a follower of Jesus Christ. That the approval of men was more important than God's opinion. By my count, of these 176 verses, 41 of them at least talk about obeying the Word. We're not going to look at any more of those. 41 of them at least. That's almost a quarter of the verses in this psalm talk about obeying, observing, doing the Word. And you do that because you rejoice in it. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Rejoice, delight. Verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments which I love. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. His delight was the law of God, God's word. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. I want to be able to stand strong in the storms of life, like we sang about in a couple of our songs in our worship service. Make the Word of God your delight. Not the approval of men, not the stuff of this world. Make God's Word your delight, and you'll have that firm, fixed, steadfast anchor that will give you the peace that you really want in your life. Rejoice in the Word. This next point is kind of included in some of the things that we've said, but look at verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause. Ever been there? Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. When we come to this book, we ought to come to it with a sense of awe and respect. Because this is the Word of God. This is thus saith the Lord. And we ought to say it. Again, if our opinion is that this is just one man's opinion, or maybe a collection of 40 different guys who happen to write on something close to the same thing, but it's just one man's opinion, and it's to be weighed with every other man's opinion, then you're going to be utterly confused. This is the only book that is worthy of our awe, because it alone is the Word of God. I stand in awe of the Word. And then finally, go back to verse 13. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Don't keep it to yourself. This word which you love, which you meditate on, which you are standing in awe of, which you have promised to obey, which you are actually obeying, which you are reading, which you're praying for discernment of, share it with others. Teach others the blessings of the Word of God and obedience to it. Teach others. Verse 46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. Oh, man, you're going to stand before kings and tell them you believe the Word of God? Don't you know kings are really important? Huh. Compared to God, kings are nothing. Kings are nothing.
teach the Word of God to others, speak of the commandments of God before others.
So here's the point. To enjoy the blessings of a Word-filled life in 2014, we must read and respond to the Word of God as it deserves. We've got to read it. We've got to be in the Word. We need to be men and women of the book, because this alone is the Word of God to us. There is no other. It has no equal. This is God's Word. And He's given it to us. And men have translated it faithfully into language so that we can understand it. God wants us to know His Word, because His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let's be men and women of the book. Father, we come to You this morning and we are in awe of Your Word. What a fantastic treasure it is. And we confess, Father, too often we don't live it. Too often we neglect it. Too often we ignore what it says in favor of the opinions of men. Too often we casually put it aside so that we don't suffer rebuke and reproach at the hands of others. God, give us the courage to stand for the truth of Your Word, because it alone is truth. Thank You for all of the blessings that we saw earlier in this sermon and in the previous message. Thank You for all of the blessings that You have made available to us through this wonderful book. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May God's grace be with you. Thank you.